I'd like to welcome Susie Carroll to the World Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall. Susie is a mental health practitioner. I've known Susie for a number of months now in work with a mutual client. Welcome to the podcast, Susie.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Susie, we're here today to have a conversation about connection to self, others, and all that is. In the heart of connection, how does Susie work at connecting to her heart and connecting to herself?
Yeah, it's a very wide-ranging topic, but what is most salient in my mind when you ask me that is that I try to be in the moment, caught up in the beauty of the moment, and then bring my heart to that. I remember when I was studying at Monash and was studying mindfulness, we explored a lot about bringing the heart to it as well, not just your mind. And I think that can be framed in different ways, like not just quietening your mind, listening to your heart within the moment, but also you can feel the idea or the emotion in your brain and have it there, seated there, but then hand it over to your heart and let your heart explore it and take it in its direction of passion so that it unfolds in an authentic way.
It's interesting taking it into our heart, because as we take it into our heart, what happens to the intellectual brain as you're taking it into the emotional brain?
I think it just quietens. And you don't necessarily have to stand back and make that a real cognitive decision. It just evolves as you hand it over to the heart, because the heart is so powerful. I remember reading that it has more magnetic field than the brain, so it has the capacity to create more energy. So that when we hand it to the heart, it can manifest the energy that you need to bring to whatever you want to develop in your life, so that the paths and the outcomes that you want to create for yourself and your own well-being naturally unfold if you give it over to the heart, because the heart has more energy than the brain anyway.
How do you remind yourself to come into your heart?
I think when you're in the pockets of beautiful moments, like for me, it's when I'm out in nature or with my horses. Just immersing yourself in that moment, and then the heart, it greets you there, and it just kind of takes over. It's like a natural process.
When it's in its natural process, do you notice it flows just naturally?
I do, and I think it generates, once you've handed it to the heart, it generates even more energy and more intention for you. And I think you become to want better things for yourself, because you're stopping in the moment and you're realising and appreciating the beauty of the moment and then life itself, I think.
When we connect to those moments, they're quite powerful and very uplifting and very joyous and very peaceful, liberating. Also in our hearts, there's the opposite, the pain that we can experience as human beings. How do you connect to that pain, and what does your heart do as it's...
I think I've had to evolve to be better at not resisting that pain, because I think when you resist it, it manifests in ways that can be toxic, depression, anxiety. For me, I've had to learn to really sit in that pain in the heart, kind of embrace it. It can be a really painful space to be in and really, really deep. But there's a beauty in that, because your heart, I think it gets stronger, brings more energy, and you can push through and try and transcend that real painful space. Because I think ultimately the heart, it wants happiness, and it if you can work through the wounds. But I think that's, I'm not going to say that's an easy thing or happens overnight. It's definitely evolving and takes time. I think we're always working on getting better at sitting with our wounds and carrying them. Some of them are such a heavy weight, but I think there's a beauty when you can sit there and within the pain, because it makes you become who you are. It's part of your identity, and you're not pushing that away, and you can learn from it.
So when we're not pushing it away, we're not pushing it back down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, sometimes we will push it back down the rabbit hole, back into the subconscious mind. Go away, please. Run away.
Yep. Natural instinct, I think.
Natural instinct. Yep. The conscious brain pushes that out into the subconscious.
Yep.
As it's resurfacing from the rabbit hole, and you're allowing it to be just present in your heart, in that presence, are you then bringing a love to the wound?
Yeah, I think you've articulated that really well. Because I think the heart naturally wants to heal and wants happiness. And then when we give it its power, we're not denying that power. And then that can manifest in us wanting great things for ourselves and our, I call them projects. And then when you give that energy to the projects or your goals and the focus to that, you're putting the intention there, and the heart brings the energy and the intention. And then I think the universe matches that.
It's really interesting. I use, and maybe I'm a bit odd, but I go peace of heart, peace of mind. Whereas most of the world goes peace of mind, peace of heart.
Yeah, I think I would lean more your way. But I think it probably depends on the context, doesn't it? Because sometimes it's easier to come from the heart because it might be something you're really aware that you're attached to. And then other times the mind gets in there and complicates. And
is that the intellectual mind that gets in there and complicates it?
Yeah, I think so. The rational part of our mind that wants to rationalise, and it's always seeking an answer and it's just chatting away all the time. So it's very hard to, you know, you want to say shut up sometimes, don't you?
Yep.
Sit down.
And I've been
heel boy.
And I've been jokingly saying recently that when I'm meditating, my intellectual brain hates me meditating. It says, "What are you doing? Stop it!
I want to come out to play."
Yeah, and I'm going to sabotage your meditation by, I'm going to throw extra thoughts in there.
That's when you have to go and blow your head off, yeah.
And unfortunately, whilst we're joking about that, yeah, unfortunately, some people do.
Yeah, or self-medicate.
Yeah.
And that can manifest in all different ways, can't it?
Yeah, it can.
It's self-sabotaging.
And when we're self-sabotaging, are we then re-triggering the original wound? Which is ironic, really, isn't it?
That's the first word I was just thinking, yeah. Kind of getting in our own way.
Yeah.
Of what we really want.
Yeah.
If we could let the heart get in there and give it its energy, the happiness would follow.
Yeah. And, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, happiness is a desire. And when we have desires, we then have suffering because we're not getting the desire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're out in nature, can you describe what that connection's like for you when you're out in nature?
It's just, it's a feeling of almost being out of your own skin. Like, you're so in the moment that it just, there's a lightness to your body, and you just, the mind's quieter. And I think the heart is just singing along. And you, like, it might be, for me, it'll be seeing a mother bird feeding her babies, or just walking on the earth and picking up its energy and putting some flowers in between your toes, or I especially love being out with my horses. Their connection to heart energy is amazing. They say that they can read our heart a heart energy and heartbeats from about a meter away, and they can actually synchronize their heartbeat with ours. So being lost in that beauty of being vulnerable in the moment, just letting it go and just letting your heart have some peace and what it loves.
Can you describe what happens to your energy when you're in that connection?
I think there's a natural flow and rhythm to it. And it's not a forced, and then that brings the lightness to your body and you just kind of get lost. And that's probably when the brain catches up with all the endorphins and
is there a flow state there?
Yeah, definitely. Is it like a lightness, a floating? I think sometimes you only get those moments intermittently, but the more you can immerse yourself in those moments and just stop and appreciate and give yourself that time and that luxury of enjoying the moments, whatever they be for you, it becomes a more natural process, and then you build on it, there's more and more that comes into your life.
And those intermittent moments, if you were to practice the reconnection back to more of those intimate moments, would that then prolong the flow state?
Yeah, I would say definitely. And you can sustain it for longer. But it's definitely a natural. So I know I was reading an interesting article about heart coherence the other day, and research that's being done on that, and it's said it was the state when the heart, mind and emotions are in energetic alignment and cooperation. Heart Math Institute research director Dr. Roland McCarty says it is the state that builds resilience. Personal energy is accumulated, not wasted, leaving more energy to manifest intentions and harmonious outcomes. And I think that really articulates it beautifully.
And when you're with your horses and you're riding the horses and you're in that flow state, do you become one with the horses?
Yeah, because you're so in the moment, and also because you can't bring the ego when you're around the horses, because they'll sense if you're egocentric and you're only always thinking about things from your own point of view, you have to think through their, because they're prey animals and they're so sensitive, and within the herd they're sensitive to a little cues of emotion, the tiniest, so they can all, you know, cohabitate. So yeah, definitely get immersed and at one with how majestic they are, and they're ironically so powerful, yet they're so vulnerable, and they'll allow themselves the courage to be in the moment. So it's almost like that flows through you and you give yourself permission, or maybe you just subconsciously allow yourself to be caught up in the moment. It's quite beautiful.
And I just want to pick up on that moment of vulnerability. When the horse is in a moment of vulnerability, how do you notice that? How do you connect to their vulnerability, and what transpires when you do connect to their vulnerability?
Because they're prey animals, they'll often shy or something will spook them, but they'll often keep going. And, you know, because they're designed by nature to go forward with their energy. If a lion's coming, they're going to run. So that in itself seems so brave to me. They're so vulnerable, yet they'll keep going forward. And I think it on a subconscious level reminds you that that's a healthy thing.
What a beautiful connection.
Oh, I think they're great teachers, I think, animals in general. I'm a big animal lover.
Yeah, it's really interesting with animals. I've been using a couple of symbols just lately. Here they are. Here, these two, a cat and a puppy dog. And I put them out on the table, because when we're connecting to animals, We're connecting to them at a subconscious, we're connecting to them at an unconscious, subconscious level because they can't intellect with us. But how much do we then tap into the unconditional love that's there?
I think the heart's so capable of that in and of itself. It's just a natural, and then to get into that energy and dynamic with the animal, it naturally evolves, I think. And the unconditional love is just flows.
And what happens to your being, your human being, as it's connected to that energy of unconditional love that animals seem to naturally give?
I think it makes you feel like opening up to that, embracing it, and then it opens up your heart. And that unconditional energy of love that the heart's capable of. So there's kind of a natural growth in there for you because you get to feel what that feels like.
And when you're in there, what happens to your intellectual mind when you're in that zone?
Well, they bring out such softness in us, I think, the heart, that the intellectual mind is just having a quiet and...
Has to be vacant.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like being vacant, does it?
No, I think it might be quite resentful. That's why it keeps coming back. Chat, chat, chat.
Yeah. And how often do we get caught up in listening to the chatter?
Wow. I suppose that's different for everyone in different contexts to different degrees, but for myself, yeah, I often find myself bumping into a negative thought in there. Sometimes I even think, shut up, you know. Then you realise you're having conversations with yourself.
But when you notice, when you realise that you're having that conversation, can you then notice it and go, oh, I'm back up into that conversation, and then bring awareness with that and then come back to your heart, reconnect?
I think I can more so now. I think I struggled with that for a long time to quieten that mind, busy mind. I think with the rewiring of your brain, when they talk about every time that happens to try to redirect, and I'm more conscious of that now, just to send it back to the heart.
Yeah, I think it was Donald Hebb, that neuroscientist, that suggested that neurons wired together, they'll keep firing together.
Powerful suckers.
In the connection to others, when you're in that flow state, you're in the heart space, what do you observe and notice happens to your connection to others?
I would say it becomes more pure, in the sense that we're flowing, there's a lightness and an absence of expectation, I think. We're just letting people be authentic. It's not a judgmental space. That's how, yeah, I would articulate that. They're big concepts, aren't they?
They are big concepts. And when, what happens in our connection to others when something in their personality triggers a reaction in our personality?
I think the ego can like to come out and tango in those situations.
So the ego kick in and have a reaction, and then do we need to notice the reaction and check in what's behind or underneath our reaction?
I think so. Check-in is definitely a good space to go to. So the analytical mind, can come in pretty handy. It's just channeling it, isn't it? I mean, it's there for a reason. It's not always a bad little communist or something in there, but...
And sometimes when we can, with the analytical mind, the prefrontal cortex, when we can name an emotion, we can tame the emotion. Where's that emotion come from? Is that from an old wound that we've pushed into the subconscious, that trigger, the person's triggered, oh, here it is, I'm back. Bit more self-development work to do there. Sometimes I imagine we can, speaking for myself, it's, here's the trigger yet again.
Okay. It is good to own it. I think it's healthy, but you can often think.
Yeah.
Then another negative can shoot through, can't it? Here I am in the same space. I thought I'd had growth and development, but the context can have a different shade or be more, complex. Or so sometimes the ego seems to want to come in there and defend you because you feel so vulnerable, whatever the dynamics might be in a particular context, and the ego is just naturally there to defend. So it's there, it can sometimes serve a protective purpose, but I think it's about channeling it and quietening it and then going back to the heart and trying to come from a more spiritual space. I think we like ourselves better when we can do that.
Is it okay to raise the subject about the book that you've just completed and the connection to the spiritual connection that you've got to that book?
Yeah, that's a great honour to be able to talk about. Thank you. Yes, I have a really deep spiritual connection to my children's illustrator book. It's called Shadows in the Walls. And I'm really motivated to start a dialogue about emotional regulation and early intervention level, to invite children to not resist and push away their emotions, that emotions are healthy teachers, and that if we can sit within the moments, our deep moments of emotion, they can actually be channeled to be our friends, and they're all healthy. They're there for a reason. I mean, even anger can serve a purpose to protect. It's how we channel it and what direction we take it in. So I'm hoping the children will turn the pages and be intrigued by the great illustrations and done by my illustrator Alida. But on a deep subconscious level, there's some wonderful messages about healthy emotional regulation, having the ability to modulate or some sense of control over your emotional experience and expression. There's also a thread in there about healthy individuation or becoming your own authentic person to your own values that lie in your heart and your own unique path in life, as opposed to just going with the crowd and denying your own authentic path, which can manifest in toxic ways against your own wellness.
And can we push those toxic ways down into our shadow side?
Definitely. But
and then
they'll find you.
They'll find you. They'll come back and find you. And that's how do we then integrate what's underneath that shadow?
Mm-hmm.
And the more we integrate our shadow, release it, clear it, and heal what's underneath it, we've then integrated the shadow.
I think integrated and almost befriended it, because our shadows, like I said before, our emotions are our teachers, and we can learn more about our sense of self, I think. They help us see more deeply into our own identity. And sometimes we might not understand immediately, it might be down the track where you might understand the context of your emotions in any given moment and why that might have evolved in a certain way. But I think the most important element is to embrace and not to resist.
To accept
the emotion. Mm-hmm. Almost hold hands with the shadows.
When we hold hands with the shadow and come into an acceptance, does that release the energy, which then can facilitate us connecting deeper within ourselves and open our hearts to the connection to the all that is?
I think so, because I think the acceptance almost like softens the moment, and then that allows the heart energy to come into the moment and create intention and get us onto pathways that connect with our most greatest desires, I think. What we ultimately would love for ourselves.
Just moving the conversation to the all that is, when I use that concept, what does that raise in your consciousness, the concept of all that is?
Wow. That's a very open-ended concept, that all that is. Well, for me, my interpretation, all that is. Wow, I'd ask you what it is for you. Maybe you can
lead into it. Yeah, for me, the all that is connecting beyond the self. It's if I go into the deepest part of my heart, the deeper I go into my heart, if I can connect to the deepest point of love, there is no space, no thing. I'm connected to whatever there is, the interconnection to the universe, the oneness of the universe, the oneness of nature, the essence beyond self.
Yeah, I think I can identify with that. I would say that it's almost ironically a losing of yourself. So you surrender to that heart energy, and there's a lightness, and you go into the depth of it, and it becomes so much, but yet you feel like it's a losing of yourself. Like you almost can't feel yourself. There's a weightlessness. Yet you're so ironically immersed in the moment. Yeah, it's quite beautiful.
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
There's a freedom
mm-hmm.
in the emptiness, but it's not empty. There's a fullness in the emptiness.
That's what I meant by the irony. It's like, yet the depth, but then there's such a lightness to it, and you've almost lost yourself, but yet you found yourself. Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether in that all that is, when you're riding the horses and you've merged with, you and the horse have become the one, and you're in flow in nature, is that like an all that is?
Yeah, it's almost like a death of yourself in a sense, but in a good way, if that sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, but
ego death.
Yeah, and just you might exist to the eye, or you know, if someone was watching, or you're existing in the moment. Yet there's so much lightness and immersion with your sense of nature and spiritual sense or essence that you're kind of lost in the moment, but there's so much lightness and
Nice place to be in. And that too will pass. But how do we keep practicing to come back to that point? And how would life be different in that space? What would happen to your mental health and emotional health and well-being in that space?
Oh, well, it thrives in that space. It's allowed its authentic energy. And then it brings more energy, I think, once you allow it. And then I think things around you, if you bring in that heart energy, more things that you desire from the heart come to you. There's just that natural flow without the obstruction. That's how it feels to me.
Like the law of attraction, so to speak.
Yeah. E equals MC squared, I think. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that in my life journey. When I can quieten the ego and the mind and give it over to the heart brings more energy because it's capable of manifesting more energy physiologically, and then spiritually it just gives it out to the universe. And you can I think if you want it, like it's almost like an ache in the heart. If you want it so bad, the heart just manifests it.
What a gift.
Yeah. I think I've got to those spaces a few times recently with my book. And
if we broaden that to a macro sense, the more we human beings connect into that space, what would that do for Mother Earth, do you believe?
I think that it would give us more connectivity to Mother Earth as our great mother. I like the way the Indigenous Australians say, we don't own the earth. It doesn't belong to us, we belong to it. I think that would manifest more and to a greater extent. That's a great direction and vision, isn't it?
It is. Well done. Susie, in drawing it to a close, is there anything else that you'd like to share in your connection to self, others and all that is?
What's come into my mind is the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. I think, if we all give ourselves that almost permission to have unconditional love for ourselves and bring our heart to anything we want to achieve or to the dynamics of our relationships, we can manifest that we have that power. And I think we all need to love ourselves enough to do that and each other. And then, like you say, that'll radiate to Mother Earth. We'll have more connectivity, and because I think we're all interdependent. I think sometimes I reflect on learning the song at school about, hip bones connected to the thigh bone. Now I have more appreciation of how deep that runs and how interconnected we all are.
And the more we heal ourselves, I'm wondering then, do we then open the opportunity for us to stop pillaging Mother Earth and start healing Mother Earth through a deeper interconnectedness with her?
I think so, because love abounds more in that dynamic. And that just spreads to the earth and to others. And you come to anything with that energy, then the universe will meet that energy.
Well done.
I'm not saying I'm brilliant at it, but I'm getting better at it.
Well, we're all on a journey, and I'm wondering, as we journey through, we're becoming more evolved, and in that evolvement, are we then intensifying and deepening the connection to self, others and Mother Earth?
Indeed. And that's where I wanted to go with my children's book, an early intervention level, and that early platform is so crucial with our socialisation and our self-esteem. And I'd like to promote that for children at such an early age. So
happy to put a link on the show notes on the podcast.
Yeah, you can buy that at Olympia Publishers or on Amazon. Yeah, I just hope it does some good out there in the world.
Great.
We can learn some of these skills at an early age. We can invite great beauty and allow ourselves to achieve amazing things that we want for ourselves and be in the wonderment of the moment more and more.
Well,
great thing to want for children and future generations.
Great. Susie, thank you for the opportunity to listen to your story and to connect with you, and I appreciate the work you've done for people that I've worked with, your support, your heartfelt support that you've given them and helped them in their journey. Namaste.
Namaste. I would say the same to you. Thanks, Mark.
Cheers.